And a good Tuesday morning, everybody. Welcome in Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. We have a great show planned for you this morning. Hal Gill going to join us in about 30 minutes. Tough one for the Predators last night in Ottawa, wrapping up a road trip as they now have one more game before the All-Star break. JoJo, what's up?
What's going on, man? Yeah, what happened to the Preds? It was 3-0, and then next thing I know, they lose 4-3, and I thought it was a typo, man.
Well, you know, they do refer to a 3-0 lead as the most dangerous lead in hockey, and it showed it last night. Yeah, it's a tough one, but got one more chance before a 10-day break, and I think they could use a little bit of a reset. Once they do that, then we'll see what happens. So we'll talk to Hal about that. The Senior Bowl getting underway, so we'll talk a little bit about that. But, Joe, and also at 9:45, we're not going to forget today, I'm done. So what are we done with? We'll do that at 9:45. But, Joe, it is hard to believe 24 years ago today, the Titans were in Atlanta playing the Super Bowl. And an interesting, I guess, nugget on that, one of the members of the Titans, Terry Killens, is now about to be an official in his first Super Bowl. He will be the first player to play in a Super Bowl and officiate a Super Bowl.
That's a pretty good little stat. I remember Terry Killens when he was here. And so, you know, I wonder if he got the assignment. They were like, hey, man, you've been killing it as a ref. And so you shut your mouth. And they just moved him over and said, here you go, in the Super Bowl. I would not want to be, and this is where I'm a big sissy, I would not want to be a referee in the Super Bowl or an umpire in the World Series or any of that. I mean, just could you imagine?
The pressure.
No. Oh, yeah.
Well, and especially now, you know, there's so much scrutiny with officials. And, like, there was a I'm blanking on who it was. There was a basketball player last night in the NBA that was like, yeah, I know I'm going to get fined, but the refs suck tonight. Like, it was just like he just said whatever.
Yeah, so that's cool. So I mean, 24 years ago, I mean, we all remember vividly, if we've been around, what we were doing watching that game and how it ended and everything. And you know, that leads us into the question that we've bantered about for a long time, but it's more apropos on a day like this, right?
Apropos. Wow, that's like, good.
Yeah, you're welcome. I studied Greek when I was in overseas in college.
I eat Greek too.
Went overseas by Percy Priest Lake. That's what
nice.
I mean. Overseas,
yeah.
Go ahead. You tell the question.
What if the Titans had won? How different things would have been?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cut and dry. Well, how would this franchise, how would the city, how would everything be different had they won a Super Bowl? I mean, I my thing is, had they won that Super Bowl, I'm pretty sure at this point, Eddie or Steve would have been in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I think Eddie definitely would be in the Hall of Fame. Just because he's gotten so, you know, he's kind of been moving up with the voting and everything. So I think he would be in, and I think guys like Derek would be closer.
Yeah.
You know, Derek gets nominated every year and you know, he made it further this year than I think he has. So, I mean, that's something to consider.
I totally agree. I think you look at a lot of things differently with, again, the city, the team, how you measure Jeff. You look, you know, John Gruden and Jeff Fisher are eerily similar as record-wise.
Yeah.
Gruden has a Super Bowl over Fisher. I mean, that's basically the only I'm talking on the field. I don't care, off the field, whatever. On the field stuff that went on. And that's how you kind of perceive things if you win that Super Bowl. I mean, just it would have been first year in the stadium and everything went on. So it's hard to believe that was 24 years ago today. Where were you, Chase? You were what, 13, 14?
Let's see. That 12? Would have been – yeah, I was 13.
13.
12 going on 13.
Just discovering things, weren't you?
I was just discovering life.
I
will admit it, as a 12 or 13-year-old, I did cry. When they lost.
Did you really?
I was very upset. Yep.
Wow, okay. Well, I mean, you were into the team then.
I mean, Jared said he did too, so I'm man enough to admit it.
You got to compare yourself to that. That's pretty sad, but
yeah,
that's
well,
okay.
You know, I was sad. I thought, right. Hey, this was happening.
You know, the great debate I put out this morning would have been, you know, and Fisher has said this, he would not have gone for two in that moment.
I don't believe him.
But that, I mean, you watch that, you know, all the video, the NFL films, everything. I mean, the Rams were done. They were gassed. And they got lucky.
You sounded like Jeff there.
Gassed. It's a run the ball. So, you got to go for it that moment because they had, I mean, that great scene with Kevin Carter on the sidelines. Dick Vermeil's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm tired. He's like, basically, like, it's the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. Get back in there. I mean, they were just beaten down and exhausted. So I always wonder what that's going to be like. And also, it's the one where people say, they were dice with 1 yard away from winning it. It's like, not really.
From potentially tying.
Right. So it's a great debate. It's a lot of fun. And I've always loved hear people's reactions about the what if part of this because it really is. It's a whole what if of things that happen.
Well, and I think the big what if is the city because the city has grown even without a Super Bowl championship. But would it be even bigger?
Well, I mean, you would have. That's a good one.
Like this. I mean. I feel like it's on schedule. The stadium was there. I think we're on schedule for a new stadium anyway. So I don't know if that's any different, you know. But like, could there have been? You couldn't Super Bowl probably not. Probably wouldn't have hosted a Super Bowl in Nissan Stadium. I don't think that really changes anything.
No, you're right. No, you're
so. Yeah. So I'm curious of the city of what would have been different with the city.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm trying to think of cities that have just won, you know, one Super Bowl. Like the Saints won, but that doesn't define that city because of what New Orleans was
sure.
Before, a long time before that.
Well, and that was kind of like the final piece in recovery, too, when they won that Super Bowl.
Yep, that's a good point. 2009, you know. You're right. That's a good point. I'm trying to think teams that have won just one going down the list of, because there's so many teams that have won multiple Super Bowls. I mean, the Jets, but that's New York.
Right. Like, okay, think about cities right now that have never – like, if Jacksonville won a Super Bowl, I think that helps that city.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
That's a game changer for that city. Like, the Texans win one. Nah, Houston, it's big, obviously, because that city never won one, is the Oilers, but – you know, infrastructure of the city. I don't know how much it really changes.
Alex on the text line. You can text us 615-737-1025. It's like, I'm only 26. Thank God I don't remember that Super Bowl.
Jeez. Why thank God?
Because they lost.
Oh.
Yeah. To watch that.
But still, I mean, like, you know.
Oh, you got sympathy, too. 8566 says, full disclosure, Chase, I was 12 and I cried as well.
Yeah. I mean, like, look.
Chaser.
We were all invested. All invested in that thing.
Yeah, I mean it was. I mean we all remember it vividly. I mean it was the whole road. I mean Music City Miracle beating Peyton Manning, going to Jacksonville and just pounding them into the sand, and then going to the Super Bowl and getting that. But it's just it pops up in the memories every time. You know when it was 15 years, like God, that was 15 years ago. But now it just seems like 24 years ago. They're about to play Super Bowl 58. That was Super Bowl. What, 34? If you go the other way, makes it Super Bowl 10, and that was like the Cowboys and the Steelers and that. So it's just, I don't know, it's a fun game to play, but you see a lot of different things that go on. But it was crazy. I mean, just growing up here, having a Super Bowl, good Lord.
Michael says, I don't think either Eddie or Steve ever leaves the team if they win. They both probably retire as Titans. He also says, on the road, we'll text you later when I see this. Call if urgent. We got you, Michael.
We need to call him right now and say, hey, man, are you on the road yet?
Hey, you good?
You on the road.
Where you at? I think there is something interesting about that. Like, Steve and Eddie probably finished their careers here. It definitely changes things.
It does. It changes a lot of things. But, you know, then you back-to-back with, the 2000. I mean, they probably would have come back and won
in
2000.
That team in 2000 was better. And, like, that team, that one almost – Derek has always told me that one hurts more because they knew they actually had the team. Like, 99 was a little bit of a surprise. But 2000, they had a Super Bowl caliber team and came up short.
They, you know, they did. 99 was pretty luck, which, you know, that's fine. Whatever it takes to get
sure.
there. 2000. And I still, that 2008 team was fantastic because there was so much drama in that team that they rallied around each other, you know, when Vince disappeared after the opening game. And they rallied around each other, and they just beat Pittsburgh, you know, a month before at Nissan pretty bad. And so they were feeling good, best team in the league. And then Baltimore came in here and beat them again. I mean, that was tough. That was a tough one. That was a good football team that I thought could go to Tampa and get to the Super Bowl. So three chances, really. You know what? The 99 team I never thought could go there. 2000, 2008, yeah. I thought for sure could get there. Of course, the
99 team, we were all like, hey, we're just happy to, you know, finally have a team that's got its own stadium and its own name.
Oh, exactly.
They're like that. Like, it was because even though they had been here in Tennessee the 2 years before as the Oilers, it didn't feel like they were ours. You know, they were playing at Memphis and then they played at Vanderbilt. And, you know, so to open up then Adelphia Coliseum and, you know, actually be the Titans, that felt like the first season.
Yeah, it did. You know, 13-3 in the first year, 99 rolling. I always said one of the biggest wins in franchise history. Franchise history, I'm going all the way back to 1960, was that opening win over the Bengals in 99 because that really, if they lose that game.
And they barely won that game.
Yeah, Del Greco kicked the field goal at the end, but they all kind of set the tone. And then they didn't lose for like a year and a half, and it was so loud. And the Rams game with Javon Curse and false start Fred Miller and all that went on. I mean, the city was just enraptured and all that happened. And, you know, the cover of Sports Illustrated back when SI was relevant. That was a lot of things happening for the city, and it felt great, man. It was good, and things were going well. I get to the Super Bowl, but like, oh, they'll be back, and then they never have. It's just – it's one of those things where – that's why, you know, Dan Campbell said the other day is like, you know, getting there to the Super Bowl was – when they lost, he's like, it's just so difficult. Even get to this part is just so tough. And you think about it, I mean, truly getting to the championship game's tough, but then getting to the Super Bowl is even harder. And then to win it, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, and I have a thought on that because I was watching a little bit of what he had to say last night. You know, they kind of did a deep dive on it. And I have an interesting thought that Lions fans aren't going to want to hear, but it relates to what we're talking about with the Titans. We'll do that. We're up and running here on a Tuesday. You can weigh in 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll talk to Hal Gill at the bottom of the hour, Chasing Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game. We'll have I'm Done at 945, a pair of tickets to see the Predators and Kings tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. We'll be on the line for that here on the Chasing Big Joe show, brought to you by Regal Realty Group on this Tuesday. So the Lions, and you know, 24 years ago today, the Titans were in the Super Bowl and lost that game. Kevin Dyson 1 yard short from potentially tying it, needed an extra point, all those things. We all remember that. But you know, Detroit, you know, you bring up the Lions, and I, you know, there are a lot of people that are like, hey, that's a good team. Dan Campbell's built something there. They'll be back. You know, the odds are they probably won't be, because think about everything that goes into that process. Like, you know, the Titans, yeah, the next year they were better, but they also, it's pretty rare to say this, they lost their offensive coordinator in Les Steckel and I think upgraded in Mike Heimerdinger. That offense changed. Obviously, guys like Derek broke out, you know, the next year and became an integral part of that offense. Steve really broke out and became a household name in the NFL. So that was a little bit different, but they never got back. They got close. They sniffed it, but they never got back. You know, the Lions, there's a good chance they lose both their coordinators with this coaching cycle. They're a big part of that. So, you know, I mean, hopefully they are, you know, that they can bounce back and get further next year, but it's hard to win in this league. And I heard Taylor Lewan say it one time, it's a lot easier to go from 2 wins to 7 wins than it is to go from 7-9 and 9-11 and 11 to, you know, just adding on. Because the further up the food chain you get, the harder it gets.
So I went back 20 years for the Titans last in the AFC Championship game against the Raiders back in the 2002 season. Here are the teams
Bill
that
Callahan,
lost.
The head coach.
That's right. Teams that lost. Colts the next year won a Super Bowl. Steelers in 2004 won a Super Bowl. These are teams that lost. Broncos 2005 won a Super Bowl. Patriots won many. Chargers never got back 2007. Ravens 2008 AFC Championship game won a Super Bowl in 12. The Jets went back to back. They never got back after 9 and 10. Ravens in 11 and on. And it's peppered with the Patriots, Colts. You know, like the Jags went in 2017 when they played the Patriots. And then after that, Chiefs, Titans, Bills, Chiefs, Bengals, Ravens. So, I mean, there I see what you're saying. Lots got to go correct for you to do that. But also, all these teams that did this, they have a common denominator, right? They have a fantastic quarterback.
Right.
And the Lions got one in Jared Goff. And then if you do lose your coordinators, you have to upgrade and just, you know, pray for no injuries. I do think the extra game, I mean, it takes a lot. Like, the Chiefs are now without their defensive end. I forget his name. Who blew his ACL out now. I mean, so it just takes so much to get there, and you got to have guys that don't get injured. That's why I was like, I hate the 17th game. It's really, I don't know. I remember the days of the 14-game schedule. It was great. Then it went 16, which is fine, but added another game, and I'm sure they'll go 18 at some point, but they have to expand those rosters and get the guys in there. Just a lot that goes on, but you're correct, man. I mean, it's tough to get back and to do it again, and the fact that Chiefs have been able to do it is crazy. I mean, they've just 18, 19, 20. They've been all these since 2018.
Well,
they've been
the
fourth
Super Bowl that Mahomes has played in. And that's the thing. It just shows you that quarterbacks like that, the elite of the elite, they don't grow on trees.
Right. You're right.
And that's why that there's only – well, really there's only one, like, elite of the elite. His name's Patrick Mahomes because he's the one that's proven it. The others are – pretty elite, but like Burrow's gotten one Super Bowl. So if you're just going strictly on that, then Burrow's second. Allen hadn't gotten to one. And then Lamar hadn't gotten one. I mean, if that's your top four right now, it just shows you how difficult it is to win in this league.
It is.
And it's not supposed to be easy.
No, you're right. It's not. Our question of the day is 24 years ago today, the Titans lost the Super Bowl to the Rams. How would the narrative change had they? What's a fun game to play, the old what-if game, and what would happen? And I said, you know, I said, you know, the Rams are gassed, and this guy says they weren't too gassed. The Rams were too gassed to stop one of the premier receivers at the time from getting a TD. Yeah, you're correct. I mean, it's a hell of a play that Mike Jones played to stop the one-yard line. But, again, you throw the ball in the end zone, you don't have that problem. And we could break this game down all day long over and over again. But, I mean, they just didn't get the job done at the one-yard line. I mean, that's the what we had left with for forever to see that. But it's all, again, it's fun to play the what-if game, but had they gone and won the Super Bowl, I mean, it would have been.
What's also interesting about this thing with the Lions is, like, Cameron on our text line says, zero chance the Lions make it back. Campbell is a rah-rah coach with an okay at best quarterback. Now everybody went from loving Dan Campbell and he's the best to they watched that game the other day and now they've all turned on him. And look, he admitted, I gambled and I lost. He said that in the press conference. And he did. And looking back on it now, he made some dumb decisions that I think cost him the game. Now, you just take one of those, you kick one of those field goals, it would have been, they could have tied it up. Could have gone to overtime. Could have been a completely different game. But, you know, you can't live in revisionist history.
No, you can't.
That's what we do.
It's fun to do that, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's our job.
That's right. We could do that all day long and get it done. Yeah, so it would have been, you know, having the Super Bowl champions to the cities and all that. But, you know, a city like Carolina, you know, they've been to two and lost those. Minnesota, 4. Buffalo, 4. I mean, just that one Super – I mean, with Minnesota, the one – even winning one. Buffalo, the same thing, the one Super Bowl. How would have changed the whole dynamic of what you talk about in those teams?
Yeah, that's it's just you know, it's interesting to play the what if game.
It is.
That's really
it's
the best way
time.
The best way to put it. I wanted to get to it. There was a text. Chris said Eddie George will be a Hall of Famer in my book, regardless. The very first day I moved to Nashville, I was in line at the Brentwood Starbucks. He was also there in line behind me. We started chatting. I jokingly reminded him that he beat out my Nebraska Cornhuskers, Tommy Frazier, for the Heisman. He then bought my coffee and said, you're going to love Nashville. Sorry about the Heisman.
Oh, man.
Well, Eddie's a Hall of Fame person for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
We all know that. A good man, what he's done, you know, what he's done at TSU. You know, it's fun.
It's like our text line woke up at 9:15.
Yeah, I know. That's what I keep getting distracted.
They're just coming in with all those that go on. I mean, again, we go back, not to belabor the point, but I mean, 24 years ago, I remember there was a big ice storm in Nashville that weekend that was going on. It was cold as you know what in Atlanta that week. And that's also, you know, it was kind of unfair for the Titans at the time. And, you know, I guess both teams, because there was only a week between the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. They only had, I mean, so they got back from Jacksonville on a Sunday night, the big party at Nissan Stadium, and then Monday, they're back on the road again down to Atlanta. I remember going to a cover practice at Georgia Tech on that Tuesday, and it was like 38 degrees, and we had to gather in a tent outside Georgia Tech, and it was just so cold. And I think the Rams got to practice indoors somewhere, and I was like, this is just brutal.
Yeah, because they didn't have because somebody said to me one time, why didn't they just practice in the bubble? They didn't have the bubble yet, right? Because they were still in Bellevue, I think.
Well, they were already in Atlanta.
No, I know, but I mean, like, their practice facility here, they weren't where they are now. They were still in the doctor's office. They weren't in the trailers.
Correct. That's right.
They were still in the doctor's office at Bellevue and just had the outdoor field. They didn't even have the practice bubble yet. So,
well, still, when they went to Atlanta, the one practice I had to cover was at Georgia Tech, and it was maybe got above 38 degrees that day, and it was just awful. But there was no turnaround. Now, I'm not saying that would have decided who won the game or not, but it was just, I don't think they've made that mistake since then. I think it's always been 2 weeks now after that.
Just so this is Ben. Ben says Sam Darnold is going to be the first quarterback from the 2018 class to play in a Super Bowl, just to show you who has and hasn't been there and how tough it is. And he's probably not even going to play. He's just going to be there. But that's interesting to think about.
Yeah, true.
Viking Matt, Dan Campbell pulled the Denny Green 98 move and coached himself out of a Super Bowl appearance. RIP Coach Green.
How did he do that? I just know they...
Well, I mean, Denny Green, they missed a field goal. Gary Anderson missed the field goal.
Is that not? It's not Denny Green's fault they missed a field goal.
I don't remember that game. You know, so,
oh, I do. I mean, it was a loaded. I mean, because we paid attention because Chris Chandler was on that team, former Oiler quarterback, was now leading that team, and the Vikings were stacked. I mean, we would seen them at Vanderbilt just a few weeks before. You know, with Moss and Carter and, you know, I mean, Brian Billick was the offensive coordinator. I mean, that was a loaded team. I think John Randall was on that team as well. I mean, that was a good football team. But, you know, that's why I always – the home field advantage to me is just the biggest misnomer in all of sports. It just is, because the Falcons went in the Metrodome and beat them. Look what the Chiefs did on the road, you know?
Yeah.
The Titans, and I mean, there were instances where the home field helps, but the Titans in 2019 going to New England and to Baltimore and beat them down. So, and then the Bengals come here in 21 and beat the Titans with the number one seed. So it's just, I think after the ball is snapped, man, it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Coming up next, it was a tough one for the Predators. They fall 4-3 in overtime after leading 3-0 last night. We'll talk to Hal Gill, get his thoughts on that one. Coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Let's say hello to our man, Hal Gill. He was on the radio call last night with the great Pete Weber. And Skillsy, just a tough one. Up 3-0 and fall 4-3 in overtime in Ottawa. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's a late arrival back in after a kind of a shell shock game. It was I didn't got a point. That point will mean something. We'll see as this goes on. But, yeah, that was a tough one. You know, like, I look at that first period was so in favor of the Preds. It was like, okay, this is an easy one. And that young team, tons of talent on that team for Ottawa, surprises me that they're not a better team. But they just came out and they had nothing to lose and went for it and came back into it and got the win.
Was the second period more, you know, Ottawa's just resolve and them battling back, or do you think there's something the Predators could have done better?
you know what the thing is as I was thinking about it, and you know, I know there's some people that don't believe in momentum and flow changes, and you kind of you take it shift by shift, and you are what you are. But I think there was a point, you know, you look at that game, Brady Tkachuk has a chance right in front in the first period, and Saros makes this unreal save and keeps it out, and then they go down and they get a good bounce and it goes on McCarron's stick and boom, you know, they're up 1-0. That could have been the other way, you know, and you know, then you fast forward, they get two more goals in that period. So it's makes it 3-0, which it could have gone the other way real quick. And it could have been a 1-1 game or 2-1 game, something like that. And then I think the Preds are dialed in, ready to go in the second period. Instead, it's 3-0, and there you go. Hey, you know what? I think we got this one. This team isn't very good, and you know, we've been tested all along. It's about time we got a game that we can just roll through. And they laid off the gas a little bit, and then Ottawa pushed. And so it's a funny game like that. You can't lose traction for a second, because if you slip, then you're down and you're out.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. What feeling did you have last night of the here they come?
Well, you know what? It was just they got. I don't see this very often with the Preds and the way they play, but they got beat up the ice, and you know, you look at some of the goals they had. The Stützle goal it was, you know, like he just beat the Preds up the ice, and you look at it and you say, okay, it was a nice play, but they shouldn't have gotten that opportunity. The Preds usually are backtracking hard. And those things don't happen. And if they do happen, it's a rarity. But it happened regularly in that second period. And I think it's the mental game that you're playing right now, leading up into the break. Is okay, good. We got a 3-goal lead, and we can just relax a little bit, because this has been exhausting. It's an exhausting time of year, and I remember going through that as a younger player. It was like, wow, I don't know how I'm doing this. And as an older player, I'm going, I know that the break is coming up. I just got to get there. And that's not the way you should be out there playing. And I'm not saying the guys have, you know, really set their sights on the break, but I know it's an exhausting time of year. And you could see that exhaustion creep in that second period.
I know that, yeah, all the guys are getting paid, and I know they're in the NHL and everything like that, but all too often now, do you think guys look at a team's record before the game? It's like, they're not playing really good. Let's go out there and do that. Isn't that dangerous if you do that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. But you can say, hey, I've got a job to do. You can say, hey, this is important. Hey, this is, I got to focus. But you're playing the team that's last, and they're not good, and you're up 3-0. I think everyone can agree that you can, okay, good. Oh, we got this team where we want them. Now we just got to go finish this game. And if you don't put in the hard work, then you lose those 3-goal leads. So I do think, you know, I've had this debate with people over and over again, but I've been in those guys' shoes, and that just all it takes is that little edge that you back off a little bit, and that's all it takes sometimes.
Hal Gill is with us, presented by Duncan on the Chasing Big Joe Show. That goal by Phil Tomasino was about as pretty and nasty as you can get all at the same time. What does something like that, a moment like that, do for a young guy and his confidence?
Well, I think it was funny. I saw, you know, talking to Chris Mason in between periods. I'm like, what do you think of that one? And he's like, that's first round stuff right there. That's what we've been waiting to see from Thomas. You know, I thought Tomer had a good game, came in and was explosive and attacking the game. And then I love to see him get rewarded, because, you know, I can attack the game. I can't roof it like that. And you know, it's a skill set that you need to have. But you need to attack the game as well, you know. And so if you combine those together like you did on that play, watch out. I mean, that's what we've been dying to see is, you know, the Cody Glass. He had a good game in Edmonton. Can he build on that? Can he get better? And I think, you know, these young guys, once they see, okay, I drive the net hard, I attack, and I have the skill to score goals, once they start going in, then they get the confidence, and then it starts to build. So hopefully – Tomer can take that one and start building with it, because I do think he's played some good hockey. Just it's been sporadic. And so, you know, that's the other thing about the NHL is you got to be consistent. You can't take too many nights off. You know, you can have a bad game, but you can't have two or three in a row.
I feel like sporadic is a really good word to describe, like, you know, some of the young guys, and, you know, maybe at times we haven't seen quite Superman Saros, even though I think overall he's been okay. If some of that comes together in the second half after the All-Star break, we're having a completely different conversation, because we know what the veteran guys like Forsberg and O'Reilly and Nyquist have been doing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's the exciting part for me. I don't think we've seen the best from Juice, although I thought he made, you know, that save in particular, not, you know, the, you know, you can look at the goals that he gave up, but I think he made some big saves that kept them in that game and gave him a chance. And that's what you need, is a goalie that gives you a chance to win. Now, Juice, if he goes out and starts stealing games left and right like he's done in the past, now we're talking, you know, a whole different level. Never mind the fact that you talked about the veterans that have been scoring. If you do get that secondary scoring, like Tomasino, Glass, Novak, Evangelista, like chipping in from the fourth line and the third line with occasional goals, and I think you're looking at a team that is on the line right now, and they could do some big things in the second half. And so I think it's exciting to watch, but, you know, you can't count your chickens till they hatch. Did I even say that right? It's
yes,
early in the morning for me. Yeah, I did it. Can't tell. Yeah. So I think two birds in the bush, chickens hatching, and, you know, all those things. I think we're tracking the right way. And if we can get that scoring, watch out.
Yeah, whatever cliche you want to throw out there, Hal, we're good with any of them. We'll back you 100%. Hey, what's the message from Coach Burnett to this hockey team tomorrow night? Because they have that nice break, everything that's going on. What's the message that he think he gives to his hockey team?
Well, I think you had that. It's been a lot of road hockey, and I think the big thing is you dial in and win one at home. You're going to need to have confidence. After the All-Star break at home, you're going to have to win games at home. The league is too good. And I know home ice isn't what it used to be, but it means a lot when you get Bridgestone rocking and you give them something to cheer about and you win games at home. So I think his message is going to be dial in. This is a team that in LA that has been struggling, and you just beat them. You just went out and played a really good, solid game. So you want to kind of go off of that blueprint that you had in L.A. and play the same game at home. But dial in just for – give us 60 minutes, boys, and we can go and really enjoy our break. You know, I hate to say it, but, you know, if you have a bad game the day before you go on vacation, it sits with you. You might be on the beach, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking about the play that you messed up, or you're thinking about the goal that went in that you shouldn't have allowed, or the missed shot that you took. And so I think the message will probably be dial in, because you're going to have to sit on this one for a while, and it would feel really good to get 2 points at home, get Bridgestone rocking, and then go off and enjoy some time away from the rink.
Well, Hal, we look forward to seeing you and everybody else tomorrow night in Smashville as the Predators take on the LA Kings. Thanks so much for doing this, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Sounds good. Have a good one, guys.
You too. Hal Gill, presented by Duncan, here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, joins us every Tuesday at 9:30. As things really ramping up for the Predators, it's hard to believe that, you know, trade deadline is about a month or so away, and this is where things really, really get busy, I guess is the word I'm trying to use. For the Predators. Coming up next, it's time for I'm Done, and you must participate. On the line, though, a pair of tickets to see the Predators tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena for a Black History celebration. We'll have a pair of tickets for you. You must bring the passion and participate in I'm Done. What's something that you're done with? You can be mad at a person, a thing, whatever. What are you done with? Call or text 615-737-1025. The best one will win a pair of tickets to the game tomorrow night, which includes a Battle of the Bands presented by Nissan, recognition of all four HBCUs during the game, and local Black artist performances and more. You can visit NashvillePredators.com/Black History Night to learn more. I'm Done next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's just like, just say it. Like, you don't need to keep telling everybody that you have a strong opinion. Like, we get it.
Right.
You have a strong opinion. And no, I'm not talking about Jared. Like, you... We understand that you like to put your opinion out there. Just do it.
Yeah, right.
Just do it and own it.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I'm done. What are you done with? 615-737-1025 on the line. A pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Kings tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. JoJo, you want to lead us off?
Yeah, mine's simple today. I thought about this. You know, I'm done with the, and I was guilty of this for many years, with the, nobody cares. I think I'm just done with that. You know, with going on, nobody cares. You know, hey, this has happened. Nobody cares. Hey, did you see that? Nobody cares. I'm just done with that. I know it's not like hard hitting, but it's been bothering me for a while. It's like, all right. I mean, why do you have to tell? Like, why should I take your sunshine away from you? Like, hey, I'm going to go to the soccer game Saturday night. Nobody cares. You know, I mean, why do we – I just don't know, you know, or no one cares. I don't know. I don't know why we tend to do that overall. It's because maybe – I mean, I was like that, maybe insecure in your own world where you put other people down. But, yeah, I just thought
you needed a hug.
No, I do. I had plenty of hugs away from the office, though, because that's not construed harassment.
Yeah, right.
But, no, that's my thing. It's like just, you know, celebrate. If you want to go do this or that, hey, man, more power to you. And so maybe I'm getting older and have a different view on things. But I used to be that guy that would put you down to make myself feel better because I was an absolute loser. So no more. So when nobody cares, I'm like, all right, whatever. That sounds good.
Okay. I like that one. And mine is actually similar. It's along the same lines. I am a big pro wrestling fan, and I have been for a very, very long time. And I think I've used something similar to this before on one of these type segments, but I love wrestling. And this weekend was the Royal Rumble, and, you know, we have a Hall of Fame wrestler coming on with us this week that I'm really excited about. And so I teased that in a tweet last night and, you know, had some really fun response because I'm like, hey, let's have fun with this. Like, I'm not going to say who it is yet.
Right.
And, you know, you can have some people that guess and everything. And there's one person on Twitter that, like, doesn't even have the stones to be a real person, to have, like, a picture or, you know, their name. It's one of those, like, I'm going to hide behind a fake avatar and say whatever I want, be a keyboard warrior when, you know, really, I'd like you to take your computer and I'd like you to put it behind your car and run it over because I really don't need to hear from you. But, it gets me fired up because they always have something to say about, you know, things that we do. And it's like the crowd that says, you know, it's scripted, right? You know, it's not real, right? You know what? I don't care. Number one, like they're athletes. And I will argue that with you all day long. One of your best friends, Reno Riggins,
yeah,
for a long time.
That's right. Made a nice living off of it.
Yeah, and it hurts. Like, you can say it's fake all you want. It hurts. Guys get hurt. Girls get hurt. Is it scripted? Yeah. It's a show. But guess what? You watch, you know, Days of Our Lives or Friends or whatever, that's scripted. You're gonna like, tweet about that going, you know it's scripted, right? You know it's not real. Like, okay. I enjoy it. So don't take away my sunshine, like you just said. I'm done with the, you know, it's real to me, damn it. So just let me have my fun.
That's good.
And
I
it's
like
that
it.
One. It's the one. I'm not even going to say their Twitter account.
Yeah, don't let them get to you, man. The text line loaded up. I'll read some of these. 6809 says, I'm done with Jared Stillman. That's pretty much
yeah, we get that every week. We need the bell. So
right.
Used to on You Just Made the List, we had the bell. Whenever somebody put Jared on the list, we just hit the bell. So, Frazier, we need to get the little ding.
Clinton Clarksville says, I'm done with the haters on Brock Purdy. Boy, there are a lot of them out there, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, tons.
Mark from Clarksville, I'm done with the Chiefs. That's all. I have nothing else to say. I think a lot of people are done with that. 1423 says, I'm done with my employer turning down my suggestions of an allotted beer break during the day. I understand that there
okay,
as well.
That's a good one. Yeah, you keep asking.
Yeah, you'll get it one day. 8743, I'm done with traffic. Yeah, we're done with that one. 4650 says, great segment. I'm done with winter. Done, just done. Can we all just move south? Yeah, we can, but there's a lot of people I don't want to take with me.
Okay.
James? Said, I'm done with Dan effing Campbell. In the final minute, TD instead of the field goal preventing the Niners cover, I had in place. There we go. Our buddy Hair Metal Henry says, I'm done with the terms, collaboration, and lockstep in my house. Ooh. It's my way or the highway. Big Joe knows. He'll tell you. I will take your wife's side on the Henry.
Yeah, because Henry, we both know your wife, and I'm going to say you're on an island by yourself on that one.
Yeah, we way over married with your beautiful wife. So
it is, sorry. It's her way or the highway.
Too bad there as well. Yeah, so there's a lot that I'm done. I mean, with that, and that's a lot of things. The Brock Purdy thing, I've seen a lot of that. Like, well, how can he? And he's not any good. He's a game manager. Who cares?
Yeah. Ron says, I'm done with the Titans living in the Flintstones era and not living in the Jetsons era. Time for a change. Well, I think they just made a pretty big change.
Yeah. God, that made my head think for a second there. I was like, okay.
I like the analogy. That's good.
It's really good, yeah. Stone Age to the New Age.
Oh, this is a good one. 1503, I'm done with this generation's work ethic. Teenagers in early 20s just don't care about work, have this whatever attitude. Amen to that.
They did. One of the best things, though, is when there's this guy that got fired from Starbucks because he had to work an 8-hour shift and he was tired. And he was like some 19-year-old kid's like, I'm done working 8 hours a day. And I mean, it's beautiful. It is a beautiful meltdown to watch that. I would say nobody cares, but it's like, all right, man, you're in for a big awakening soon.
I will say this, and look, I'm pretty lucky as a manager. I mean, Nick Fraser is a prime example of somebody that I think has got a little bit of an old soul, but he understands what work is and paying your dues. But I hear it all the time of people that, you know, are in this industry and other industries. It's like, yeah, nobody wants to work anymore. Yeah. Everybody just, like, hand it to me.
6809 says, hey, Chase, quit making fun of Reno Riggins or I'll come down there and put you in a figure four on you and you'll scream like a little girl. Uh-oh, Chase, watch out now.
Well, I don't think I was making fun of.
You weren't at all.
Is that Reno Riggins?
It's not Reno Riggins.
I'm done with Wes in Clarksville. I'm done with Taylor Swift. She dumped me for Kelsey. Yeah, me too, man.
Oh, well. I mean, I love, and that's another thing, I'm loving these conspiracy theories about her and Travis Kelsey. They're fascinating that people can form, like, it's a government put them together to promote the Pfizer shot. I mean, it's crazy, all this stuff that goes on out there. Can they not just, you know, hang out and be in love or whatever? Do we have to have a theory behind that? I mean, we remember vividly last summer, right? The guy shot his shot, right?
Yeah.
When she came to Kansas City, he's like, I sent her all these notes and messages and blah, blah. We were laughing.
Hey, good on him, man.
Yeah.
We made it work.
Yeah, you did.
All right, Benjamin, I want you to expand on this a little bit because I want to follow you. I'm done with old heads not respecting hardworking men in their 20s and old men that don't have a work balance. Like, what do you mean?
Old heads not respecting hardworking men in their 20s.
I mean, I'm all about a work-life balance. Like, there are times where I'm like, hey, I'm done. You know, I'm done working. I put 12 hours in today. I'm going to go sit at the bar and have a beer with my friends.
0.0.
Yes.
0.
Exactly. Thank you.
Oh, man.
Let's go to Wes in Hermitage on the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. Wes, what's up?
Oh, good morning, fellas. I gotta elaborate on this, and I'm hoping that I'm not the only one, but, you know, man, I work 10 or 11-hour days, so sometimes when I get home and I'm ready to cook dinner, you know, it's like, oh, man, I forgot the rice, I forgot the butter, and you just got to run to the grocery store. You know those nights where you just got to run and grab one thing.
Yep.
If you've got a full grocery cart full of stuff, don't go in the expressway.
Oh,
it's
yes.
It's not for you. Oh, my gosh, it drives me nuts. I'm standing there with milk and bread or toilet paper, and there's somebody just scanning, you know, 37 packs of ramen noodles, just boop, boop. I'm like, come on, man. And that's all I got. That needs to stop right now.
That's a really good one, Wes. Appreciate the call.
That was mine kind of last week. It's like, if you're going through the self-checkout line, don't do it when you got fruit and vegetables.
Yeah. Because
you can't figure out the screen. The worker barely can figure out the screen. Go to the other line where they can figure it out themselves, and you're not backing people up like that because you'll stand there forever. That's a really good one.
You know, it's funny, like, that right there, I think, is what's wrong with society, is just how much we don't care or oblivious people are. You know, of just, like, there's been times where I walk in the express lane, I have two items, and there's somebody in front of me that has, you know, 25, and they just kind of look at you like, well, sucks to be you. Sucks to suck.
Michael's got a good one, and I really like this one. He says, I'm done with people during the national anthem screaming their own custom words like, oh, say, can you see, or home of the Chiefs. It's the national anthem, not your fight song. 100% agree, but it's never going to stop.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like it either. I mean, it's even kind of become a thing here, you know, with the oh, say, can you see? I feel like it's a newer thing. I'm just, you know, and it's free country. You can do what you want, but I'm of the old school that's you take a, you know, minute and a half, 2 minutes, stand there, hand over your heart, and honor the country.
One more real quick. 97565 6 says, I'm done with winter too. That's why I'm sitting in South Florida in shorts. Nice. And Cody needs to finish his story against Roman, not Seth.
That's a wrestling reference.
How dare you talk wrestling? It's fake.
Yeah, well, you and that fake Twitter account. Talk about it some more.
Oh, that guy's giving me grief throughout the year, so I just laugh. I mean,
we'll get a winner on this. We'll text you or call you if you're one of the winners. And Teron Davenport going to join us from the Senior Bowl at the bottom of the hour. That's all coming up in hour number two. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.